To that end, the three assurances of the Cunnilinguist Manifesto are as follows. Going down on her turns you on. You enjoy it as much as she does. There's no rush. She has all the time in the world. You want to savor every moment. Her scent is provocative, her taste powerful. It all emanates from the same beautiful essence. Communicate these three assurances physically and verbally. Repeat them over and over in every possible way. Say them, show them, embody them. Be strong, be understanding. If she has issues, fears, talk your way through them. Work your way through the anxiety. Lead her to a breakthrough. Be one of the good guys. Take one small lick for man, one giant lick for womankind. Cunnilinguists of the world unite, the revolution is upon us. Viva la vulva. Part 2, Rules of Usage. Here is a perfect poem. To awaken a longing, to nourish it, to develop it, to increase it, to stimulate it, and to gratify it. Balzac. 21. A Note on the Play Process. As discussed in Part 1, cunnilingus has been traditionally considered an optional aspect of foreplay rather than a sexual act in its own right that can lead a woman through the entire process of sexual response. In relegating oral sex, as well as other important activities such as manual stimulation of the clitoris, to the domain of foreplay, we are simultaneously discounting the importance of these pleasure-oriented activities, limiting their role in the overall process of arousal and sexual response, promoting genital penetration as the centerpiece of sexual experience. In doing so, we open a chasm between tongue and clitoris, one that often cannot be bridged by the penis. Additionally, the relegation of cunnilingus to foreplay reinforces the false idea that the tongue is best applied during the early stages of sexual response, when in fact, the opposite is true. Because of the heightened sensitivity of the clitoris, direct stimulation is best approached slowly and gradually, and is ideally preceded by a variety of erotic activities. In short, cunnilingus is not foreplay, it's core play, the best approach for consistently applying various methods of clitoral stimulation, and one that, like genital penetration, requires an appropriate prologue of erotic activity. Hence, in our discussion of technique, foreplay will be considered those activities that precede core play, the sublime waltz of tongue and clitoris. As Aristotle noted, a middle is only a middle when preceded by a beginning and followed by an end. Whereas for men, the completion of the process of sexual response virtually converges with the explosion of orgasm, it has been amply demonstrated that a woman, upon climaxing, requires a greater period of time to return to the pre-aroused state. Hence, the importance of more play. And so there we have it. The play process, foreplay, core play, and more play, taken as a whole, the makings of great sexual drama. Time to put on a show. 22. Foreplay, a lexicon of relevant terms. A bad beginning makes a bad ending, said Euripides. Do not take shortcuts at the cost of clarity, Elements of Style. Anticipation. Create a strong sense of expectation. A little goes a long way. A hot, hushed phone call from work, a furtive whisper over dinner, a glancing touch on the nape of the neck, the smallest of gestures can imbue the banal with erotic energy and electrify the mundane. Avoid. During foreplay, avoid direct contact with her genitals for a minimum of 10 to 15 minutes. Stimulate other parts of her body. Let the oxytocin wash over her and pervade her bloodstream. Save the genital kiss for last, as the first kiss upon the vulva is the threshold between foreplay and coreplay. Awareness. Stay attuned to the nuances of sexual response. Don't lose your focus or let the process slip away from you. Every moment builds continuously on the last to create a seamless experience. Remember what Aristotle said, Most important of all is the structure of the incidents. If any of them is displaced or removed, the whole will be disjointed and disturbed. A bath. Cleanliness is an important part of any sexual encounter, but particularly in respect to cunnilingus. Squeamishness regarding genital hygiene is the number one reservation that men level against cunnilingus and is also a source of anxiety for women who worry that their partners may be wary. Incorporate a shared bath or shower into foreplay. Channel the anxiety into a romantic event. Beard. Unless you have a full, soft beard, consider shaving, as stubble can irritate her vulva, inner thighs, and other sensitive areas. Body. Hers. Keep in mind that skin is our largest sexual organ, and the entire body from head to toe is one big erogenous zone. This is especially true of women, as the female body is generally smaller than the male, and the same number of nerves are consequently dispersed across a smaller surface area. Hence, the number of sensitive receptors is proportionally larger on the female body. Second, the female skin is generally thinner and less hairy than the male, so sensations are more clearly felt. Sex researchers have observed that some women can reach orgasm by simply having their eyebrows stroked or their earlobes kissed. As Voltaire wrote, "Love is a canvas furnished by nature and embroidered by imagination." Breasts. While there is indeed a biological basis for the pleasure connection between breasts and vulva in the form of oxytocin, a chemical that heightens our sensitivity to touch and is released in our genital area when the breasts are stimulated, numerous studies reveal that breast contact stimulates men way more than it does women. In a Kinsey study of female sexual response, only 11% of the 8,000 women surveyed said that they stroked their breasts during masturbation, compared to 84% who stroked their clitoris or labia minora. So it stands to reason that when it comes to her breasts, a significant component of her pleasure is the enjoyment of yours. Every woman is different regarding breast sensitivity, so err on the side of tenderness and look for feedback. As one of this author's interviewees put it, savor, don't suckle. Breath, as in bad. And all this fuss about hygiene, don't forget about your own, particularly oral, as there are more bacteria in the mouth than in the vagina. Rather than brushing your teeth, which could cause cuts and sores and raise the risk of spreading or contracting an STD, simply rinse well with a mild mouthwash. Stay away from floss prior to sexual activity for the same reasons. Breathing, hers. Most men think of vaginal wetness as the most reliable indicator of a woman's level of arousal. And while there is indeed a strong correlation between lubrication and sexual response, she may or may not be wet for reasons that have nothing to do with her level of sexual excitement. Breathing, on the other hand, is an oft-neglected indicator. As she gets more aroused, look for the commensurate changes in her breathing and tightening of the abdominal muscles. Candles. Men and women differ when it comes to their attitudes about doing it with the lights on. Like Hemingway, men often enjoy a clean, well-lighted place in which to practice and observe their craft, whereas women seem to prefer the cover of dark. Compromise with candlelight. Communication. Keep all channels open throughout the process, verbal and physical. Maintain a persistent feedback loop of stimulation and response. According to Sex, a Man's Guide, in a Red Book magazine survey of 100,000 married women, the strongest indicator of sexual and marital satisfaction among them was the ability to express sexual feelings to their husbands. The more they talked, the better they rated their sex lives, their marriages, and their overall happiness. Let each other know what works as well as what doesn't. Be positive and constructive. Criticism, expressed harshly, is often the death of sex. Fantasies. So potent is the power of the imagination that some women are actually able to fantasize themselves to orgasm without any physical stimulation at all. Studies reveal that men and women fantasize differently. In general, women tend to fantasize in ways that are more situational and narrative, whereas men's fantasies tend to focus on specific physical and graphical elements of sexual encounters. In terms of subject matter, there is overlap between men and women, with common fantasies including multiple partners, soft bondage, anal play, cheating, watching others voyeuristically, and having sex in public places. Fantasize together. Take a page from the 1001 Nights and incorporate a story into foreplay. If you're not a born storyteller, try reading one aloud together. Some literary recommendations include James Salter's erotic masterpiece, A Sport and a Pastime, Anais Nin's collection of short stories, Delta of Venus and Little Birds, the erotic novels Emmanuel by Emmanuel Arsan and Story of O by Pauline Rigaud, Harold Brodkey's sexual saga Innocence, perhaps the greatest depiction of a session of cunnilingus ever penned, novels by Jerzy Kaczynski such as Passion Play and Cockpit, Henry Miller's Under the Roofs of Paris and Quiet Days in Clichy, My Secret Life by Anonymous and The Pure and the Impure by Colette, Nancy Friday's anthology of fantasies Secret Garden, filled with the correspondence of real people's fantasies, stories from the Mammoth Book of Erotica, or one of the many erotic anthologies edited by Susie Bright. For those with a taste of poetry, try Les Fleurs du Mal, Flowers of Evil, by Charles Baudelaire, or Flesh, Unlimited, by Guillaume Apollinaire. And for those who like comic books, kinky ones, that is, try the extra-hot works of writer-illustrator Eric Stanton, who specializes in female domination fantasies. Fantasize separately. Keep in mind that there are those fantasies we share aloud and others we keep to ourselves. Respect each other's privacy and never be threatened by what's in her imagination. According to the authors of Sex, A Man's Guide, studies reveal that about 85% of both men and women have sexual fantasies during sexual intercourse some of the time. The authors go on to cite a study by Harold Leitenberg, Ph.D., in which he concludes that people who fantasize during sex feel a greater level of sexual satisfaction and have fewer sexual problems in their relationships, even if the person about whom they fantasize is different from the person they have a relationship with. Says Sally Tisdale, "At times I find it's harder to talk about my fantasies than my actual sexual experience. What I do sexually is the product of many factors, not all of them sexually motivated, but what I imagine doing is pure. Pure in the sense that the image comes wholly from within, from the soil of the subconscious. The land of fantasy is the land of the not done and wished for." Fantasy versus reality. Note the difference between sharing a fantasy and acting one out. The former is harmless and exploratory. The latter can often lead to unforeseen consequences unless discussed and properly understood by everyone concerned. This is even truer when a fantasy is taken out of the bedroom. The sex we have in our lives, familiar, repetitious, is usually very different from the sex we have in our fantasies, exaggerated, taboo, and perhaps that's the point. Think twice before taking fantasies out of the bedroom, and know that a rich inner life contributes to a healthy, happy outer one. As one interviewee commented, "Even if I wanted to live out my fantasies, it's impossible. I'd need a time machine and a spaceship." Fellatio. One of her greatest sources of pleasure will be to pleasure you, and there's no better way for her to do so than with some generous oral attention. Just don't get too carried away. Numerous surveys note that men enjoy fellatio as much, if not more, than intercourse, and that it's the easiest way for a woman to stimulate a man to orgasm. Receiving head is not permission to climax. As Dr. Comfort wrote in The New Joy of Sex, a few men can't take even the shortest genital kiss before ejaculating. So if fellatio is something you love and must have, then go for a light snack during foreplay and put in your request for prolonged attention after coreplay. Fingers. Once she's aroused, her body awoken and sensitized by your attention, manual stimulation of her vulva will prove to be the pièce de résistance of foreplay. Plan on taking ample time to deploy just the right combination of pressure, motion, and rhythm. Before you get going, you might want to moisten your hands with some lubricant, although at this point her natural moisture should be in steady flow. Also, make sure your fingernails are clipped, as they can irritate her genital area as well as cause small scratches and cuts. Hair. Pubic. When it comes to hair care, guys care. Some men love it and can't get enough of it. Some men love it and can't get enough of it. All they want to do is rub their noses in it and take in the full aroma of a woman's scent. Others prefer a neatly trimmed coif. Still others enjoy the thin strip of a mohawk or the sleek bald pate of a naked vulva, what the Chinese refer to as the white tiger. Ultimately, it's her decision. Remember that, respect it. Some women don't want the hassle of having to attend to yet another aspect of their appearance, and anything beyond a mild trim is going to involve discomfort, itching, and perhaps even pain. Kissing. As the poet Shelley wrote, soul meets soul on lover's lips. A kiss is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there is any reaction, both are transformed. A kiss is a unique and versatile expression of the soul. A kiss can be playful, patient, and coy, or ravenous, forceful, and violent. According to the teachings of Tantra, a woman's upper lip is considered one of the most erogenous areas on her body because of a special nerve that connects it to the clitoris and is said to channel erotic energy. Like language itself, there is virtually no emotion that cannot be expressed with a kiss. Cunnilingus is simply the art of extending a kiss into a complete act of lovemaking. Language. All the fun's in how you say a thing, wrote Robert Frost, and this couldn't be truer than when applied to sex play. According to a survey in Men's Fitness magazine, over 90% of men love it when their partners talk dirty to them. So if you tend to be the quiet type in bed, untie your tongue and verbalize your erotic feelings. But pick your words wisely and remember what Mark Twain had to say in this regard. The difference between the right word and the nearly right word is the same as that between lightning and the lightning bug. The same is true of turn off and turn on, so make sure your choice of words has the latter effect, not the former. When searching for the right words, remember what Elements of Style had to say. All writers, by the way they use language, reveal something of their spirits, their habits, their capacities, and their biases. Lingerie. Appreciate before proceeding to rip, tear, and ravish. Unlike guys, whose capacity for creativity in the area of underwear selection rarely extends beyond deciding between boxers or briefs, women often apply considerable resources, physical, creative, financial, in order to be well diversified in this department. As one interviewee commented, "Who the hell does he think he is? Conan the Barbarian? He tore through my panties with his teeth. Excuse me, but those were $50 La Perla." Lubricant. Artificial. There's an old Malagasy proverb, let your love be like the misty rain, coming softly but flooding the river. But if your partner doesn't lubricate consistently, easily, or at all, don't take it personally. In a 1994 Sex in America survey, 20% of women complained of trouble lubricating when engaging in sexual activity. In terms of cunnilingus, artificial lubricant is neither as important nor as indispensable as it is during genital intercourse. As Dr. Comfort noted in The New Joy of Sex, the best sexual lubricant is saliva, and it's usually an ample supply during cunnilingus. But even the mouth grows dry at times, so it never hurts to have some lubricant close at hand. In selecting a lubricant, read the ingredients carefully and stay away from those that are oil-based and contain chemicals such as Nonoxyl 9, a commonly used spermicide that tastes awful and can burn and lead to infection. Also, stay away from jellies such as KY that are greasy and heavy. Best to choose a water-based product that has few ingredients. Astroglide is a common favorite and has earned the reputation of its tagline, second only to nature. There's no shortage of choices, so enjoy the process of selection. Massage, foot. One of the most underestimated and underutilized forms of erotic stimulation, a good solid foot massage floods the bloodstream with endorphins and energizes the entire body. No need to worry about not being a professional masseur. Just maintain persistent contact between hand and foot, massaging one foot at a time with both hands. Work the whole foot, the sole, ball, ankle, and toe joints before going to the other one. Feel free to kiss her toes. Some women won't be able to stand it, while others will experience the heights of pleasure. Masturbation. Sex researchers Masters and Johnson gathered much of their information about female sexual response by watching women masturbate. Take note, they consistently observed that women focused their manual stimulation on the clitoral head as well as the shaft, mons pubis, and inner and outer labia. Because of the heightened sensitivity of the clitoral head, most women stimulated it at the peak of arousal and avoided direct contact immediately subsequent to orgasm. Dr. Kinsey found that 95% of the women he studied climaxed far more often through masturbation than during genital penetration. This observation was corroborated by Masters and Johnson, who found that over 90% of women were able to experience an orgasm through masturbation. Although Masters and Johnson observed consistencies in how women masturbated, they also emphasized that no two women masturbated in exactly the same way. Masturbation, shared. Not necessarily for her eyes only, but an opportunity to observe a woman's unique way of consistently bringing herself to climax, something clearly worth studying. But remember, even though masturbation is a common, often shared experience, it's still as close to taboo as you can get these days. In his book, Solitary Sex, A Cultural History of Masturbation, Thomas LaCour, a history professor at the University of California, Berkeley, writes, "In general, masturbation is that rare thing in modern talk about sexuality, something best left unspoken, and so discomforting that it can only be broached as a joke." If she's never masturbated in front of you, create an environment of intimacy and trust. Most important, let her know that it's something you want her to do because it turns you on and because you want to learn more about how to please her. Regardless of the hurdles, it will improve your sex life when you are comfortable sharing the act of masturbation with each other. It will not only prove erotically stimulating, but masturbation will also serve as a reliable fallback for those times when, for one reason or another, sexual activity does not lead her to orgasm and she needs to take matters into her own hands. Music. Use it to enhance the mood, not kill it. Find music that lulls you both into a deeper zone of letting go. Music that helps you synchronize yourselves into a mutual sense of rhythm and pacing. The right choice can really stimulate the senses. The wrong choice can shut them down. One interviewee commented that she likes to play Ravel's Bolero during sex, as it both captures and stimulates the process of arousal, the way the tension builds slowly, repetitiously, subliminally encouraging my boyfriend to slow down and wait until it all builds to a crescendo. Yet another woman commented, "This may sound weird, but I love to listen to whale music when a guy goes down on me. I have all these bizarre underwater fantasies. Sometimes I even imagine that I'm the female whale and that I'm being called by the male whale with his, like, what, 50-foot cock." Orgasms, multiple. Oftentimes, a woman will experience an orgasm during foreplay, particularly if ample stimulation has been effectively applied. While all women have the innate biological capacity for multiple orgasms, not all have experienced them, and many might be unaware of their inherent potential. If she climaxes during foreplay, transition for a few minutes into a milder form of stimulation, such as kissing and hugging, before moving into core play. This shift in activity is particularly essential if her orgasm was the result of manual stimulation of the clitoris, as the clitoral head is particularly sensitive to touch following orgasm. Let her cool down, but keep her warm and sexualized by focusing your attention on other parts of her body. After this brief interval, you will be able to return to direct stimulation of her vulva and get ready for her next orgasm. Penetration. If cunnilingus is core play, then it's possible to think of genital penetration as an aspect or part of foreplay. In the standard missionary position, you on top, her beneath you, use the tip of your penis to barely penetrate her vaginal entrance. Let your penis rest just inside her. If you're uncomfortable in the missionary position, then simply kneel or sit in front of her vulva. Linger, loiter, meander. Stay close to the entrance. Press your thumb against her clitoral head and gently flick it from side to side as you penetrate her with short, shallow thrusts. Or press the shaft of your penis against her clitoris and then gently thrust between the folds of her labia without ever entering her. Or she can perform Kegels, the squeezing of her pelvic muscles, while you ever so slowly penetrate her. Really take the time to feel her pelvic muscles contract against your penis as you slowly withdraw. Porn. Specifically films. We know they turn on men. Lesser known is that they can also play a role in stimulating women. According to the book Total Sex, a recent survey of 500 video store owners revealed that female customers help to choose at least 25% of all adult video rentals. Such enthusiasm is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's comforting to know that men and women share this predilection for cinematic stimulation. On the other hand, the vast majority of porn films are male-oriented. For a change of pace, check out films specifically designed to appeal to women by directors such as Candida Royale, a former adult film star who ventured out onto her own to produce and direct under the banner Femme Productions. Not surprisingly, these films rely more heavily on elements such as plot and character, feature lots of foreplay, and are much more illuminating about the sorts of sexual activities that women actually enjoy. And unlike male-oriented films, the sex is actually integrated into the storyline. Shakespeare would surely have appreciated these female-oriented dramas more than their male-oriented counterparts, in that at least they make an effort to suit the action to the word and word to action, while holding a mirror up to nature. Style. Don't be a show-off. As written in Elements of Style, the beginner should approach style warily, realizing that it is an expression of self, and should turn resolutely away from all devices that are popularly believed to indicate style, all mannerisms, tricks, adornments. The approach to style is by way of plainness, simplicity, orderliness, sincerity. Holds true for experts as well. Ties, the kind that bind. Restraining a lover during sexual activity is a popular fantasy, and one that, unlike some others, is easily realized and erotically rewarding. When approached safely as a light-hearted, playful activity, restraint is a fun, guilt-free way of acting out dominance roles and expressing healthy sexual aggression. It stimulates her body by allowing her to flex her muscles more intensely than when unrestrained, and also stimulates her mind by allowing her to surrender to pleasure and act out in ways that might normally make her feel awkward or shy. It also encourages you to take your time and lavish her with attention as she submits to your teasing. From constraint comes creativity. If you're new to this topic, err on the side of caution. Time. Take lots of it. As Ovid wrote, "Love's climax should never be rushed, I say, but worked up slowly, lingering all the way."
23. Introducing core play. Proper words in their proper place make the true definition of a style. Jonathan Swift. Although it's imperative that the play process unfold seamlessly from beginning to end, without interruption, it is nonetheless useful in discussion to break the process down into sub-stages, especially as they help to illuminate core play. The substantive phase in which sexual tension builds, culminates, and then releases itself through the female orgasm. Therefore, we will discuss core play in terms of six distinct stages that are easy to understand. Stage 1, in which we transition from foreplay to core play with the application of the first clitoral kiss. Stage 2, in which we establish rhythm and acclimate the clitoris to the persistent attentions of the tongue. Stage 3, in which we continue to build tension by focusing more of our energies on the clitoral head, as well as introducing appropriate manual stimulation. Stage 4, in which we hypercharge the process of sexual response and escalate her level of arousal by internally stimulating the clitoral cluster in combination with the clitoral head. Stage 5, pre-orgasm, in which we maintain the optimum balance of rhythm and pressure as she approaches orgasm. Stage 6, orgasm, in which we maximize the number of pelvic contractions and help her to realize the full potential of her climax. In abbreviated terms, think of these stages as a straightforward process that encompasses the first kiss, establishing rhythm, building tension, escalating the action, pre-orgasm, and orgasm. Going forward, we will dedicate our attention to a more thorough discussion of these 6 sub-stages of core play, explore related topics that arise throughout the process of female sexual response, and break down an array of techniques that will keep the action going. But before we do anything, let's make sure we're in the right position. 24. Form follows function. Getting into position. Before going down on a woman, make sure to position yourself for maximum performance. Bad form is often the difference between success and failure. Porn films would have us believe that any position is the right position. Up against the wall, on top of a table, hanging off the bed, hanging off the rafters, the wilder the better. But it should come as no surprise that with titles like Hannah Does Her Sisters or Titty Titty Bang Bang, the porn industry in general shies away from the lofty aesthetics of cinema verite. First and foremost, expert cunnilingus needs to be delivered from a position that enables the giver to comfortably apply persistent rhythmic pressure over time while the receiver relaxes into the nuances of arousal. Not surprisingly, one of the main reasons why men say they don't perform cunnilingus more often is the physical strain. In short, the pain of being in the wrong position. So if your attitude towards cunnilingus is no pain, no gain, the sentiment is appreciated, but entirely unnecessary. First, the wrong way. There are few positions better suited to porn films than to prolonged clitoral stimulation that have nonetheless become widely and wrongly disseminated into the mainstream. At best, they serve as spicy embellishments to a session of cunnilingus. At worst, they can seriously undermine the entire experience. These popular positions include 69ing, SOMF, sit on my face, and up against the wall, among others. 69ing. Of the 3 positions mentioned, 69ing, in which man and woman service each other simultaneously, is probably the most prevalent and also the most problematic. In the 69 position, you are endeavoring to provide stimulation from the wrong point of attack. Rather than approaching her vulva from the south, bottom up, you're coming in from the north, top down. Regardless of who's on top, you'll have little use of your hands, and it will be difficult to use your tongue to comfortably service the major parts of her clitoris. As author and columnist Anka Radakovich writes of the position, working out the logistics of fitting mouths on orifices and protrusions while adjusting to the rhythm is like playing a game of naked twister. If you're giving while simultaneously receiving, it's highly unlikely that you'll be able to focus on the application of measured, even-handed clitoral stimulation. There's even a chance that you'll get caught up in the moment and allow yourself to lose control. Finally, the position cannot be comfortably sustained at length, nor can she fully relax and concentrate on the nuances of arousal. The fact is, when it comes to oral sex, it's best for one partner to focus on giving, while the other focuses on receiving. Both are extremely pleasurable and best kept pure. In short, 69ing is a novelty act. That's not to say it isn't an exciting position or a compelling means of enabling her to enjoy the pleasure of pleasuring you, but such joys are best experienced during foreplay, not core play. When 69ing during foreplay, make sure you don't waste your best tongue strokes. Save them for core play. The first kiss upon her vulva should take her breath away, so don't diminish the sense of anticipation. Instead, kiss the areas around the vulva rather than the clitoris. Use your lips, not your tongue. Smooch, nibble, but stay away from the clitoral head. Turn the position into one of strength. Use it as a way of teasing her to greater heights. SOMF, sit on my face. The same can be said of SOMF, a position that provides you with better access to her vulva than 69ing, but significantly hinders the use of your hands and fingers, a trade-off without much real gain. Sitting on your face, really kneeling around your face, forces her into an upright position and places undue stress on her back and legs. In this position, it's highly unlikely she'll get very far in the process of sexual response. However, it can prove erotically stimulating by providing her with a sense of dominance and might be good for a bit of fun. Up against the wall. In Up Against the Wall, she literally stands against a wall while you kneel down before her, although it's unlikely that she'll reach orgasm from this position. With a wall to provide support, it's easier to lead her through the several stages of arousal. Up Against the Wall has all the rough passion of a quickie, but without the male ejaculation that often accompanies the genital version of this position. All three of these positions, 69ing, sit on my face, and up against the wall, are useful in that they provide erotic stimulation and often heighten the drama of the moment. In fact, with a little help from your imagination, there's no limit to the number of creative positions that can be devised and put to the test. One book I came across actually recommends going down on a woman while she stands on her head with her legs wrapped around your neck. Use these positions during foreplay to accelerate the process of arousal into core play, but don't mistake them for ones that enable the application of serious clitoral stimulation to the point of no return. So much for the wrong way. Now for the right way. Her body. She should start flat on her back, legs spread comfortably apart, but not too far, 6 to 9 inches at most, and a bit bent at the knee. As a rule, her legs should always be closer together than farther apart, as she needs the full command of her pelvic muscles. She should be completely at ease and relaxed, able to focus on the pleasure she's receiving without any distraction, physical or mental. Pay attention to the arch of her back. Once again, we get the idea from porn that when a woman is turned on, she naturally arches her back upward, throws back her head, and points her breasts and neck up and out. This position, while titillating, is what the famous sexologist Wilhelm Reich referred to as the hysterical arch. Not only is it highly unnatural, but the position also cuts off blood flow to the pelvic area, hampers breathing, and inhibits the process of sexual response. When a woman is aroused and comfortable, her back will find itself flat without an arch, and her genitals will be tilted slightly up toward your mouth rather than driving downward. In short, the opposite of what we see in porn. To help her achieve this naturally comfortable position, prop a pillow or two behind her neck and shoulders. A pillow propped under her butt will help with the blood flow to the pelvic region, as well as provide you with better access to her genitalia, making it easier for you to connect lips and alleviate stress to your neck. Your body. It's important that you have enough space to stretch out and be comfortable, so you'll probably have to push her up toward the head of the bed. If you're both on the floor, also a great place for a session of cunnilingus in that the floor provides a solid, flat surface. Just make sure there's some sort of cushioning beneath her, be it a soft rug or plush quilt. Place a pillow beneath your forearms and get your working hands as comfortable and close as possible to her vulva. Position yourself vertically from her vagina. Other than the narrow flaring of her legs, your bodies taken together should form a straight line. All in all, you should feel perfectly at ease adopting a wide range of motions, licking for long periods of time, sliding your hands underneath her butt, lifting her legs and rocking her to and fro, placing a hand on her stomach, turning her body from side to side. Your head. They don't call it giving head for nothing. Cunnilingus involves more than just the use of your tongue. You need to get your whole face in there. Your nose should be buried lightly in her mound, with your upper lip and mustache area resting firmly against the front edge of her pubic bone. You should be able to easily use your upper lip and gum to provide light pressure against her front commissure, the area just above the clitoral head where her outer lips meet. As for your tongue, it should easily be able to rest against her vaginal entrance and cover its entire expanse from top to bottom. This position enables you to apply a full range of motion with your tongue. From long, vigorous licks to deft, persistent flicks, from keeping it flat and still to applying focused tongue-tip pressure. All in all, you should be completely involved with her vulva, on top of it, buried in it, face, mouth, nose, gums, teeth, and tongue, all of which will be employed one way or another. If a filmmaker were capturing the event, very little would be seen beyond the still back of your head. Certainly, there would be few, if any, flashes of tongue. Taken together, don't settle for anything less than total comfort and total access. You'll know you're both in the right position when she's able to comfortably look down the length of her body and watch you work, and you're able to look up without breaking the flow of action and make eye contact with her. When it comes to cunnilingus and body position, remember that form follows function. Keep your mind focused on providing her with pleasure, and the body will naturally follow your lead. 25. A quick refresher on the top 10 hotspots in the clitoral network. As we veer into core play, let's quickly review the areas of the clitoral network that are going to command our attention, as well as the types of stimulation to which they're best suited. Don't get overwhelmed by the numerous parts of the clitoris. It may seem like a lot to take in at first, but a little effort goes a long, long way. Trust me, as we go through the various techniques, the geography of arousal will become second nature, and you'll know a frenulum from a front commissure in no time. And take heart, simply knowing what's what in the clitoral network already places you at the head of the class. 1. Glands. Visible, also known as the head or crown, and colloquially as the clit, the button, the jewel, etc. With more than 8,000 nerve endings dedicated to pleasure, the glands lends truth to the phrase, big things come in small packages. So sensitive is the glands to stimulation that a hood, also known as the prepuce, protects it during peak stimulation. Both the clitoral head and its protective hood respond to gentle, rhythmic tongue strokes, as well as firmer pressure once she's well into the process of arousal. 2. Clitoral cluster, hidden. It includes what is typically referred to as the G-spot, but to call this sensitive expanse a spot is a misnomer. Located atop the vaginal ceiling, starting at the vaginal entrance and extending into the birth canal for roughly 2 inches, this area of spongy tissue surrounds the urethra and responds well to the firm pressure of a fingertip massage. Rather than focus on finding a spot, focus on stimulating an area. Mons pubis, external, or the pubic mound, is located just above the clitoral cluster. Massaging the mons pubis with the base of your palm stimulates the clitoral cluster from above. Think of the clitoral cluster as an unseen layer of nerve endings that is sandwiched between the mons pubis and the vaginal canal, hence your ability to stimulate it from above and below. 4. Front commissure, external. The smooth area just above the clitoral head and protective hood, this area contains nerve fibers and covers the clitoral shaft, internal, a sensitive cord-like structure that can be seen protruding from the skin of the front commissure when aroused. Like the clitoral head, the front commissure and the shaft responds at first to tongue strokes, but once aroused, craves the firmer pressure of the upper lip and gum or a fingertip massage. 5. Frenulum, external, is the area just below the clitoral head where the tops of the labia minora, the inner lips, meet. This sensitive area responds to tongue strokes as well as firm pressure. Like the glands and front commissure and shaft, the frenulum plays an important role in sexual response. In fact, taken together, these three visible parts of the clitoris are responsible for the lion's share of the pleasure. 6. Labia minora, external, also known as the little lips or the inner lips. They swell to nearly double their size when engorged with blood during arousal and respond best to tongue strokes, gentle nibbles, and playful fingertip pinches. 7. Vaginal entrance, external, contains the remnants of the hymen and, when amply aroused and lubricated, responds best to slow, long licks and gentle fingertip tickles. 8. Fourchette, external, is the area located at the base of the vaginal entrance where the bottoms of the labia minora converge and responds best to tongue strokes and gentle fingertip flicks that just graze the vaginal entrance. 9. Perineum is the expanse of skin between the fourchette and anus and is filled with spongy erectile tissue that connects the anus to the clitoral network and lines the base of the vagina. This area responds well to tongue strokes, fingertip pressure, and fingertip squeezes, thumb and index finger, that stimulate it from both sides, internal and external.
10. Anus, external. Lined with tissue and muscle that connects it to the clitoral network, the anus participates in the process of sexual response and, like the pelvic muscles, contracts repeatedly during orgasm. This area responds well to fingertip pressure, fingertip insertion, and tongue strokes, but also contains bacteria that should be prevented from commingling with other parts of the vulva. 26. Grand openings, the first kiss. The approach. Never underestimate the power of first impressions, especially the impression of your lips against her vulva. The first kiss atop a woman's vulva is often the most exquisite of all possible kisses and can literally take her breath away. Approach the first kiss as an event, as though tasting the first sip of an expensive bottle of wine that you've been saving for that special occasion. Don't just pop off the cork and start swigging. Let it breathe, sniff and savor the bouquet, admire the body, note the complexion and tone, and then finally take that much-anticipated first sip. Allow yourself to appreciate the full experience. Run your fingers gently through her pubic hair. Be sure to tease her amply. Kiss her softly on the inner thigh, as well as the smooth skin adjoining her vulva. Kiss her with little succulent smacks, lips pursed, no tongue, on her inner and outer lips, or even on the top of the head. Make sure that your first kiss is less about direct contact with the clitoris and more about appreciating the entire genital area. Breathe hotly on her vulva. Blow ever so gently on her clitoral head. If she's still wearing her panties, kiss her through them, then delicately peel them to the side to reveal a glistening wet vulva. Caution, never, under any circumstances, blow into a woman's vagina as though trying to fill it with air. Doing so is seriously dangerous. Blowing into a woman's vagina may cause an embolism and lead to death. Breathe on her, blow lightly on her, never blow into her. The moment before. Before you move in for the first kiss, take a moment to acknowledge the presence of the vulva, your partner in pleasure. Prepare yourself mentally for the experience ahead. Remind yourself that you are there to lead her steadfastly through the process of sexual response to orgasm. This is a great time to remind her of the three assurances. Going down on her turns you on. You enjoy it as much as she does. There's no rush. She has all the time in the world. You want to savor every moment. Her scent is provocative, her taste powerful. It all emanates from the same beautiful essence. Like a guest arriving at a much-anticipated dinner party, let your hostess know how excited you are to be there, how beautiful she looks, and how much you're looking forward to the meal ahead. Put her at ease. Tease her, taunt her, tantalize her. Make her think that she's not ever going to get it, ever, and then, just when she's on the brink of utter madness, give it to her. The kiss. Make your first lick a slow and tender ice cream lick from bottom to top. Make it long and lasting. Take it all in. Start at the base of her vaginal entrance, the fourchette, and work your way up. Take in the full length of her labia minora, her inner lips, and let your tongue rest briefly against her frenulum, the area just under the clitoral head. As you go over the head, brush it lightly as a feather, and then proceed to her front commissure, the area just above the head. Push down on her commissure with the tip of your tongue, and feel the sinewy clitoral shaft beneath it. As you kiss her slowly from top to bottom, press your fingers lightly against her perineum, the expanse of skin just below her vaginal entrance. When you lick the full span of her vaginal entrance from top to bottom, place your hand atop her mons pubis and nudge it gently toward her abdomen,
This will stretch the skin and tighten her vaginal entrance, enabling you to lushly encompass her sensitive inner labia as you lick. As an alternative to the standard position, grab hold of her upper thighs prior to the first kiss and pivot her legs up into the air so that only her butt is touching the bed and her vulva is completely exposed. No matter what your approach, take it long and slow, from bottom to top, and savor every step of the journey. Now that you've lavished her with the first kiss, that long, full lick, let your tongue rest flat against the length of her vaginal entrance. Encompass her vulva with your tongue. Take a moment to let the experience of the first kiss resonate. Make sure it's love at first lick. Before you go, you should know. Not all kisses happen in the same context. There are frequently extenuating circumstances. There's the protected kiss. Learn how to put your safe sex gear to use. There's the scarlet kiss. Contrary to popular opinion, you can enjoy cunnilingus while she's menstruating and have a perfectly pleasurable, flow-free experience. The virgin kiss, for those men and women who are brand new to the joys of cunnilingus. The pregnant kiss. Learn how to manage the ins and outs of providing pleasure during a time when the release of sexual tension is more important than ever. 27. Establishing rhythm. A make and break moment. Your first kiss will leave her wanting more. It's time to show her that you can go the distance. Now is a make or break moment, or as you'll see, a make and break moment. A critical juncture when many men make the mistake of sprinting for the finish line instead of pacing themselves to run a marathon. Cunnilingus is all about the balance between movement and stillness, the counterpoint of action and reaction. To that end, a flat, still tongue, pressed softly, later firmly into her vulva, will prove to be one of your most powerful positions. Make sure that the interval between licks is long enough to let each one resonate fully and completely. Like calling out her name in a tunnel or cave, wait until the echo has completely subsided before calling out once again. Later, as the momentum builds to a peak, action and reaction will overlap until they become virtually indistinguishable. But for now, that's a ways off. Feel your tongue against her vulva. Let your respective nerve endings find one another and conjoin in embrace. See and feel your tongue fusing with her vulva, and then break the contact. Your tongue should completely disconnect from her vulva for a split second, causing the slightest of tremors in her pelvis, an almost imperceptible shudder of shock from the loss of your tongue. Then, make contact again. As with the first kiss, take a long, slow lick from top to bottom and lushly brush against her clitoral head with the flat, broad side of your tongue. Then, once again, maintain a flat tongue against her vulva. Don't press too hard and don't favor any one particular part. It's this breaking and making of contact between tongue and vulva that allows the buildup of sexual tension and will ultimately demand release through orgasm. Build a solid foundation. Get a rhythm going. Long, slow lick, flat, still tongue. Long, slow lick, flat, still tongue. Each complete set should last about 10 seconds, with 5 seconds on the lick and 5 on the flat embrace of tongue against vulva. Repeat this pattern for about 3 minutes, or 15 to 20 complete sets. Here's a tongue tip. As you get more familiar with the routine, use your hand to push up against her mons pubis for the lick. This tightens her vaginal entrance and brings her labia closer together, and then release when you lay your tongue flat against her vulva. Be alluring. Now avoid the head. Next, vary the routine with small halfway licks from bottom to mid-vagina, avoiding the area of the clitoral head altogether. Focus on stimulating her inner labia. This way you're not overexciting the head. Remember how sensitive it is. You're teasing it, gently coaxing the head out from under its protective clitoral hood by switching your tongue strokes, from light repetitive licks that gently graze her to deeper halfway licks that now avoid her altogether. You've alerted the clitoral head to a variation in rhythm. You've rescinded the attention that it grew accustomed to. In this way, you compel the head to find you, to seek out your tongue. Smother her in love. Now, just when the head has been lured out from under its hood in search of the tongue that has been denied her, give it to her. Smother her in it. Press the soft tip of your tongue into the head. Like a wave washing over her, bathe the head for 5 seconds with your wet tongue. Feel her shudder with pleasure. Tongue tip. As an enhancement to these routines, perform them with her legs in the air. Get a firm grip on her thighs and raise both legs so that only her butt is touching the bed. Lick her vulva tenderly and gingerly and note the tension in her legs and pelvic area as she pushes against your hands. This pushing against a point of resistance is a key element in developing hypertonicity, the muscular tension that contributes to sexual response and orgasmic release. Play the numbers. Go back to your halfway licks. Start with a set of 5. Then once again, bathe the head with the soft, wet tip of your tongue. With each complete set, increase the amount of halfway licks you apply by 1 until you reach a total of 10. This routine establishes rhythm and builds sexual tension with just a hint of unpredictability. Most important, this routine acclimates the clitoral head to oral stimulation. 28. Developing Tension, Part 1. The Importance of Teamwork. Now it's time to put some real ground behind us on the road of arousal. So far, your tongue has been leading. But now, in the spirit of good old-fashioned teamwork, let's get your fingers and hands into the action. It's all for one and one for all. Think of your tongue, hands, and fingers as 3 members of a jazz trio. As with any great band, everyone has to work together in order to create beautiful music. Deft fingers. If in our metaphorical trio the tongue can be thought of as the sax man, then your fingers are behind the piano, anchoring the tongue's rousing solos with virtuoso rhythms. Fingers collaborate with the tongue to create an array of dizzying combinations. To begin with, let's explore the potential of a single finger and then later introduce more complex combinations. Use your index finger to flirt with her inner lips. Trace the edges with your fingertip. Squeeze and pinch them playfully. Acquaint your index finger with all the diverse parts of her vulva and take note of her responses. Gently stimulate her front commissure, the smooth area just above the clitoral head and hood. Lightly tap her frenulum, the region just below her clitoral head and above her vaginal entrance, where her labia minora, inner lips, meet. Tease her fourchette, the area where the labia majora, outer lips, meet at the base of the vaginal entrance. Gently tickle the lower base of her vaginal entrance. As you allow your finger to wander, apply simple, steady tongue strokes. Note how the two work in combination. Now that you've teased her vulva, slowly insert the first 2 inches or so of your index finger into her vagina. Your finger should go in quite easily, assuming she's amply aroused and lubricated, and you will likely feel her interior pelvic muscles throb in response and the clitoral cuff tighten around you. Hold the position straight and still as you continue to apply simple tongue strokes. Don't rush to insert more fingers. Save them for later. For now, there's a teasing aspect to the still single finger, and its presence stimulates her pelvic muscles to work. You're giving her something to reach for that ultimately eludes her grasp. A teasing thumb. The nub-like thumb is a perfect example of the power of width over depth. As a playful alternative to your index finger, insert your thumb just inside her vaginal entrance, as if you're making a fingerprint. In addition to being shorter and squatter than the index finger, the thumb has more heft, so use it for shallower movements and to stimulate the surface of the vulva. Tongue tip. Use your thumb in combination with your index finger. While your index finger is inserted in her vaginal entrance, rotate your thumb downward to the 6 o'clock position, and then graze, tickle, and press her perineum, the area of erectile tissue, just below her vagina and above her anus. Or rotate your thumb back up to the 12 o'clock position and massage her frenulum, the area just below the clitoral head, while your finger is inserted in her vaginal entrance. Sturdy hands.